Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, July 6th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. We pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll read the entire chapter. The title in my Bible says, Concerning Food Sacrificed to Idols. Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know, but whoever loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, with all your knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. Before we move on to the Psalms, I just want to talk a little bit about the context of this passage in 1 Corinthians. Some in the church, because of their past associations with idols, cannot in good conscience eat food that has been offered to idols because of what this would signify for them. So in verse 9, Paul says, "Be careful that your rights do not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak in the congregation." Notice what he calls the weaker brother, the brother for whom Christ died. Wayne gives a really good illustration on this concept. It is the concept of a governor. One Christmas, he got a go-kart, and it was a wonderful gift, but his parents had installed a governor on this go-kart because they wanted to protect him from the dangers of going too fast. So what he saw as something to hold him back from all the fun he could have was actually something to protect him from danger. In this passage, Paul suggests implementing a governor. The beliefs of the weaker person should govern the behavior of the more knowledgeable person in a congregation. Why? Well, because love should be more important than us exercising our rights and freedoms. We need to do anything necessary to remove obstacles to people hearing the gospel, and we need to choose the path of Christ-like love so that we might join Paul in his quest of sharing the blessing of the gospel with many during our time in this world. And so I ask myself this today, and I ask the Lord to reveal to all of us, what is the food sacrificed to idols in our lives? In other words, maybe we don't have this issue of sacrificing food and whether we should eat it or not, but where should we change our behaviors in order to help a weaker believer? And now let us turn over to the book of Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 51. For the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And as we move from the Psalms, we move to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. I have seen another evil under the sun, and it weighs heavily on mankind. God gives some people wealth, possessions, and honor so that they lack nothing their hearts desire. But God does not grant them the ability to enjoy them, and strangers enjoy them instead. This is meaningless, a grievous evil. A man may have 100 children and live many years, yet no matter how long he lives, if he cannot enjoy his prosperity and does not receive proper burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. It comes without meaning. It departs into darkness, and in darkness its name is shrouded. Though it never saw the sun or knew anything, it has more rest than does the man. Even if he lives 1,000 years twice over, but fails to enjoy his prosperity. Do not all go to the same place? Everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. What advantage have the wise over fools? What do the poor gain by knowing how to conduct themselves before others? Better what the eye sees than the roving of an appetite. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Whatever exists has already been named, and what humanity is has been known. No one can contend with someone who is stronger. The more the words, the less the meaning. And how does that profit anyone? For who knows what is good for a person in life? During the few and meaningless days they pass through like a shadow. Who can tell them what will happen under the sun after they are gone? Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word. That was a pretty depressing note to end on. Who can tell them what will happen under the sun after they are gone? But I do tell you, in Ecclesiastes, something that was said today was a warning for me, I think. The more the words, the less the meaning. And so as we pray together to end our podcast today, I want to be brief with my words, but asking the Lord to continue to go with us for the rest of the day, and that you and I might continue in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we can be together. Thank you for this community that comes around your word daily. I pray, Lord, whatever my friends face today, that you would be with them as you have promised. You are our ever-present help in times of need. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know all things. You created all things. You sustain all things, and you are redeeming all things. Help us, Lord, to not use an abundance of words, but to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.